Was it Robert Palmer? Who's, I think it was Robert Palmer who said to the Edge, the guitarist for U2, like, can you tell your singer to stop straining so much? He's giving us all a headache. And in the name of love. Yeah, he did screech a little bit. And he's reaching quite a bit for some of those notes. And I think he did some real damage. Like, Robert Plant did real damage to his voice. That's one of the reasons he had to give up singing Zeppelin songs, is he just can't sing them anymore. And Freddie did to some degree. He got nodes, but he didn't want them. He didn't want them fixed or to try and fix because he was concerned it was going to wreck his voice. Was it Julie Andrews had a lovely voice when she was younger, of course, and she had nodes from singing, and she got the nodes fixed, and it wrecked her voice for singing. So it's pretty rough. What is it? In I think one of the live versions of White Queen. Which is kind of a racist song. But anyway, one of these, the live versions of White Queen, Freddie's like, oh, is this one of Brian May's compositions that really gets you in the nodules? Right? And it's true. Brian May kept writing these songs that Freddie was frightened to sing. Like Hitman, he was like, I couldn't speak for 2 weeks after recording that song. Because he was kind of brutal on the voice. Brian May compositions are kind of brutal on the old vocals. All right, but enough rambling. Oh, wait, no, there's not enough rambling. I have one more little vamping bit to do. All right, hang tight. I don't know why I find it. I genuinely don't know why. I don't know why I find it so funny when on social media some woman posts, it's usually a woman, posts something about, like, she's cooked and it's like, basically, where's Bae going? To the toilet. I don't know why I find this. Maybe because my mom was a ferociously bad cook. Like, it's almost like this can't possibly be accidental. You know, it can't be that you're this bad without some malevolent force behind it. Do you guys cook? Do you enjoy cooking? Do you bake up a storm? G'day from South Australia. Great. Have you heard of Liberland? I have, in fact, heard of Liberland. All right. Could use a little hyping up, pulling the pin on the honesty grenade and how it will benefit. Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Haven't caught a live one for a while. Well, you might want to try fishing with dynamite. Should I try to find married friends of divorced friends and forever bachelors drive? What? Should I try to find married friends? If divorced friends and forever bachelors drive single women away. Oh, I don't know. It's Sunday, man. How blunt should I be? Okay, hit me with a 1 to 10 on how blunt I should be. I'm your slave. I'm your willing, happy slave. 1 to 10, how blunt should I be? This one goes up to 11. 11? Right. All right. Hit me with a why if you're divorced. Hit me with a why if you are divorced. We got one. Right. All right, my friend. How long have you been divorced for? About to be. Oh, can't you turn back? 11 always. Otherwise, there's no point. 4 months you've been divorced? How long were you married for? Oh my gosh, you were married for 15 years. Oof, oof, oof. Well, okay, tell me if I'm wrong about this, right? I want to be sensitive about how I land, like a helicopter. So tell me if I'm wrong about this. Is it not the case that married people are generally, like, divorced people who are just divorced, are broken for quite a long time? Like, they're broken in two for quite a long time. Because it's such a huge heartbreak, right? Am I wrong about that? I will never be divorced because I found the truth about sex at 16 and never looked back. Thank you, Steph. You would agree, right? I mean, it breaks people in two. And I, obviously, it's a self-selecting group, but most of my friends' parents were divorced when I was a kid because I was just in that whole environment, like the matriarch of manners, which is like it's the matriarchy of substandard women. And the women were all broken, and they never, ever put themselves back together again, as far as I could see. Like, I don't know a single mom of the divorced groups that my friends were inhabited in. I never knew a single mom who ended up back in a sort of happy, stable, successful relationship. Just broken in two. It's like losing one to death. No, it's not. I'm sorry to be annoying. It's not like losing one to death. Because death is not your fault, right? Death is not your responsibility. You death is an accident, a happenstance, right? For the most part, like assuming it wasn't some horrible lifestyle choice or something. But no, it's not like losing someone to death. It's not a failure. Like if your wife dies, she gets sick, she dies, gets hit by a bus or something, it's not a failure of yours if your wife dies. But divorce is a huge failure. It's either, and like it's a failure on just about every level, right? Obviously, there are kids involved. It's very bad for the kids. It's a failure because you either chose the wrong woman or you drove the right woman away. I'm just talking to the dudes here, right? I know it's a bit of a sausage fest here. Why? Because it's Sunday at 6 o'clock and the women are all cooking. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah, you either chose the wrong woman, which is pretty terrible, right? And, or you chose the right woman and you faffed it up, right? I have agonized over the marriage for several years and done everything I can think of to fix the relationship. I admit I chose the wrong woman. Yeah. And listen, I have sympathy for that. I really do. But just remember, it wasn't just you who chose the wrong woman. It was everyone around you. Everyone around you. Come on, man. If you saw a friend of yours, you know, he's checking his phone and he's about to wander in front of a bus, wouldn't you tackle him to take him down? If you know someone who's getting married to the wrong woman, you tackle that son of a bitch. And you, I don't care if you have to tackle him into the pew on the day of the wedding. You stop that mess from happening, man. There's a reason why they say if there's anyone here who knows why this marriage should not go forward, man, you stand up. You are involved and wrapped into that divorce if you didn't warn your friend. And if your friends didn't warn you, they're part of the asshole whirlpool that dragged you down. Because when you're, you know, when a man loves, like when you're in love with a woman, you lose your reason, right? To some degree. You lose your reason, and it's up to your friends to guard you. You're blind, and you're walking down the highway. And it's up to your friends to save your ass from a piece of hot ass that's going to blow up in your face. Boy, there's a mixed analogy that's vaguely Indian food related. So, yeah. My grandparents are celebrating their diamond anniversary this July. All of their three children, including my, quote, dad, are divorced or childless. Thanks to Steph, I will have a diamond anniversary one day, too. Mwah! Fantastic. One to hear. Listen, I mean, if someone you know is marrying the wrong person, you say that. You say that. If they're dating the wrong person, if they're marrying the wrong person, you say that. I have had probably at least 10 conversations over the years with friends saying, she's not right for you, and here's why. She's not right for you. And I'm pretty emphatic about this. Like, obviously, I can't tell anyone what to do, but I'm pretty emphatic about this. Like, here's why, here's why, here's why, here's why. And look, they can go ahead, they can do whatever they want. But my conscience is clear, right? My conscience is clear. And if you know someone, I warned a guy not to get married. He got pissed and I wasn't invited to the wedding. Recently, he reached out to tell me that I was right. They are still married. Okay, so my friend, Mr. Orwell, rings a bell. Let me ask you this. Is he still your friend? Just hit me with a why. He is. Why is he still your friend? Why? Why is he still your friend? I'm not saying whether he should or shouldn't. I'm just curious. And I'll sort of say why. We shared important experiences together. Well, not enough for him to trust you. So here's the thing, right? So your friend is now going to enter into a multi-year horror show. Now, maybe it'll be multi-decade. If it's the wrong woman, it's a bad marriage, and he stays married, man, that's a nightmare. If he's going to get divorced, then he's also going to go through that multi-year nightmare. Now, I don't know the right answer to this. This is not pure philosophy or anything. I'm just telling you my particular approach. If I warn someone and they don't listen to me, counterattack, get mad, exclude me from the wedding, well, I wouldn't want to go to a wedding where it was a bad marriage. It was going to be a bad marriage. I wouldn't want to go. I'm not going to go celebrate that. Disassembly of a human future. No, thank you. So he is about to go through multi-year or maybe even multi-decade hell on earth, right? And you told him, you absolutely told him not to. And he got mad at you. So why are you responsible for going on this multi-decade or multi-year hell journey with him? Why would you be responsible for that? It's sort of like if you tell your uncle who you care about, stop smoking, and then he's like, oh, I've got lung cancer, I'm going to need you to donate a lung, do you? I wouldn't. I mean, what is the price of not listening? Why would you follow someone down a path to hell when you beg them not to go? Why? Especially when not only did he not listen, but he counterattacked, right? He attacked you. He attacked you. All right, let me get back to your questions and comments. I think people, if you're happy, they should not interfere. I wish they would grow a pair. I think people feel if you're happy, they should not interfere. I wish they would grow a pair. Well, I don't want to interfere if you're not happy. Really? That's people's general philosophy? So if you're happy on drugs, they should just not interfere? If you're happy robbing old ladies of their purses, they should not interfere? If you're a sadist and you're happy being cruel to people, if they should not interfere? If you're happy because you're angry at women deep down and you sleep with women and then abandon them and break their hearts and promise them and then ghost them, well, it makes me happy. Don't interfere. I mean, how... Is that how they're going to raise their kids too? Well, you know, hey, if all you want to eat is Skittles, I'm not. It makes you happy. I'm not going to interfere. No. They don't. No. They don't want to live any values. Well, you seemed happy. I didn't want to interfere. Right. I bet you these are the same people that I'm happy doing a big-ass philosophy show, and they're like, well, we've got to get them canceled, right? Steph, it was very interesting, that post about the divorce lawyer talking about the common professions of divorcees. Yeah, so, and it was cheaters, women who cheat. So women who cheat, it's the, if the woman's the breadwinner, she's much more likely to cheat. If she's in the arts, particularly like a singer, a performer, she's more likely to cheat. If she's a social media influencer, she's much more likely to cheat and all of that. So yeah, these kinds of things are pretty clear, right? My uncle is divorced twice and is on his third wife. Well, not married yet, but soon to be. I wonder why my father, his only sibling, never intervened. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you my approach. I'll tell you why your father doesn't intervene. But it's going to make you unhappy. But I'll tell you why. I mean, it's a great German word, Schadenfreude, which means taking pleasure in other people's unhappiness, right? So your father wants your uncle to fail. Right? So the people who don't intervene when you're marrying the wrong person, just to take an extreme example, the people who don't intervene, they want you to fail. They want you to be unhappy. They want you to be miserable. They want you to lose your stuff, right? Like, you know, this old joke about, well, we have Malibu Barbie, she's 1995, and we have Florida Beach Barbie, she's 2395, and we have New York Barbie, she's 2295, and then we have Divorce Barbie, she's $300. What the hell is she $300 for? Well, because she comes with all of Ken's stuff, his house, his car, his savings, his clothing, his, you know, his kids. So, yeah, they want you to fail. You know, there's a whole bunch of people sitting back secretly wanting other people to fail. Okay, come on, raise your hand, hit me with a why. Tell me, have you ever taken pleasure in somebody failing? Come on. You ever taken pleasure in somebody failing? Of course you have. Of course you have. When bad people fail, doesn't it give us a special glow in our heart? Sure. A little if they've wronged me first. Yeah. Yeah. See, I want people to fail enough to learn. But generally, when people don't learn and they keep failing, like tumble all the way down to the bottom of the heap, that's rough to see, man. That is rough to see. Yeah, you want to see people fail. If somebody is, yeah, I mean, if somebody is screaming for your rights to be taken away, don't you want them to fail? You want Zuckerberg to fail at fighting Elon? So here's an interesting thing. So I'm on a Facebook, but I assume I'm ruthlessly suppressed on Facebook. So I've been posting, I do a post on Facebook just for like the 9 people who are allowed to see my posts, right? But people have been emailing me saying, hey, man, I've seen your post for the first time and I didn't even know how long, right? Now, why do you think there may be less censorship at Facebook? But possibility, I have no idea. Why do you think there might be less censorship at Facebook? Mm-mm. Not competition, that's a constant. Because they're trying to build relationships? Nope, they want people to reveal themselves. That's a possible thing. That's a possible thing. But that, again, has been a constant for a long time. Do you know that there is a very strong relationship between exercise, testosterone, and rejecting censorship and embracing the free market of ideas? Do you know that? Like, they took a bunch of leftist guys and they gave them testosterone replacement therapy, and they became more right-wing. When guys go to the gym, right? Going to the gym, getting more vitamin D, like everything they said in COVID was to make people left-wing, because it's like, stay away from church, stay away from gym, stay away from outside, don't get your vitamin D. Yeah, so Zuckerberg is training in martial arts now, and he's pretty good, and he's doing these Ironman championship marathon things, and he is just physically very strong and very fit, and he's learned combat. And that moves you from somebody who evaluates things according to fear to someone who evaluates things according to truth. So if you are not comfortable in the competition of sport, how can you be comfortable in the competition of ideas? So I think that as Zuck uncucks himself with exercise and martial arts, that he is going to be less nervous and less, oh, real-world harm come from these words. Right? It's always real-world harm come from these words. Never seems to apply to warmongers now, does it? Never seems to really apply to warmongers, right? So, yeah, I think it's a possibility. Because it comes down from the top, right? It comes down from the top. Somebody says, I don't want to watch them destroy their life. But I did my diligence to warn them. Oh yeah, yeah. It's about your conscience, right? It's not you don't tell people to don't marry the wrong woman. You don't tell them that because that's going to save them. You tell them that so that you have a good conscience. You have a good conscience. Is it better to ask one's friend questions about the relationship in order for them to contemplate their motives? Yeah, yeah. Whatever it takes. Like whatever it takes. Absolutely. Whatever it takes. And so, yeah, you can ask questions, you can point things out. The best thing to do is to have empirical evidence. So let me ask you this. Have you ever provoked someone in order to reveal their temper to others? You ever deliberately provoked someone in order to reveal their temper to others? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, it's similar to if you think that your best friend's girl is cheating on him or willing to cheat. Then maybe you'd set up a fake account and you'd send her romantic messages and see how she responds. And if she's like, oh yeah, sounds great, send me nudes or whatever, right? Then, yeah. I have no problem with any of that stuff. Because the risks of divorce, the risks of getting involved with the wrong girl, the risks of the Me Too movement and all of that and getting falsely accused, I mean, yeah, whatever you need to do to keep your friend safe. Beautiful. Beautiful. I don't recommend that you get involved in these kinds of things, but, you know, if that's what it takes to keep your friend safe, I don't have any particular problem with it. I mean, it's like, well, you got to be honest. It's like, have you seen makeup and filters lately? We got to be honest. Give me a freaking... What is it? One of my characters in The God of Atheists says, give me a small honky-dick break. All right. Questions, comments, issues? I'm happy to hear it. Are honesty messages too weak, or should they always be done in person? Yeah, look, I mean, if you can eyeball to eyeball and you've got some place where you've got some peace and quiet and you know, It's maybe not necessarily a huge public place where, you know, you're concerned the waiter's going to constantly interrupt. So, yeah, try it. I mean, if you can't do it in person, do it any way you can. But, yeah, in person is generally, there's a vividness, isn't there, to direct eye contact and being in person with someone. All right. It's funny, too, because I've even seen some places where my videos have been reposted. And it's really interesting to see people's narrative. Hit me with the why if you've ever heard people talk about you when they don't know you can hear. Have you ever had that experience? People talking about you. You know, maybe you're napping upstairs and they don't know you're there and they're just talking about you downstairs or whatever it is. You ever had that experience? It's pretty wild, isn't it? I remember once when I was the director of a play that I wrote. And I was producer and director and playwright. And I was listening in for audio cues, and everybody was talking about me as a director and as a producer and as a leader and all of that. And it was really interesting. I didn't want to interrupt anyone. It's just very, very interesting. Yeah, if you could not post memes like I'm trying to do a show. I mean, it's fine if they compliment or whatever, but if you're just posting memes, it's kind of rude because I'm trying to do a show here. So, all right. So I'm getting married soon. Would you be open to offering me a little counseling to help me choose the right man? I want to honor you in all of my decisions and intentions. Well, that's very kind. But if you're getting married, then it's a done deal, isn't it? If you are getting married, then it's a done deal, right? Camera picked up audio of my mom's distaste of my wall art. Needless to say, I was devastated. Yeah. Yeah, I've had that experience a couple of times. Where people are talking about me, and they don't know that I can hear. It's a pretty neat experience. So when I got, and it's funny because this is 3 years. It was 3 years since I was kicked off YouTube. Right? It was 3 years since I was kicked off YouTube, almost to the day, right? And yeah, I remember I was working away on a video. I had just shot a video of turtles. My daughter had caught some turtles in our pond, and we did a video of the turtles. And I just started getting all these messages like, your YouTube channel is gone. I tried to log in, and it's like, you've been canceled for X, Y, and Z. And oh, but don't worry. Like, there was no warning, right? You're supposed to get three strikes. You're supposed to get all these warnings. None of that. Just pull the giant switch, right? And there was no appeal or no contact, no information, whatever. And of course, you know, I really did do my part to try and help build YouTube up. And of course, when YouTube was attacked by that crazy woman terrorist, I was like rushing to their defense and really condemning everything, of course, as you would. But it's really interesting. So when I'm kicked off of YouTube and when one of my videos surfaces somewhere on social media, it's really interesting to read the comments. Yeah, it was the same week I mentioned the bankers on Twitter. I also talked about censorship coming from social media and all of that. And, you know, I think we all know all of the general causality and all of that. Oh, I'm getting married once I choose my husband from my suitors. I must choose correctly because marriage is a lifelong commitment. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Call in at freedomain.com. Let me type it in here in case you think it's colon at freedomain.com. Yeah. Yeah, just shoot me an email. So it's interesting. The way that it generally works, just in case you're curious, and this is not everyone, of course, just the people who post, but it's not the worst cross-section of people. So the general story is, Steph was really an edgelord. He was, you know, really powerful. He was really took on the toughest topics and with aplomb and verve and charisma, and he was just magnificent. He bestrode the world, and then he got deplatformed, and it's sad to see what he's been reduced to, and now he doesn't touch anything edgy, and he's a broken man, Paul Young style. He's a broken man, and, you know, he's just been reduced to, you know, a couple of, like, minor topics, and they really broke him in two, and, like, it's really wild. I don't know if you've seen any of this kind of stuff about me, but I don't mind people posting this stuff. I think it's interesting to see what it is that they're saying, and I'm curious what it is that they're talking as well, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's I mean, it is really, really interesting to see. Now, the funny thing is, here's the funny thing, is that let's say that these people, your novels are great work, your post-ban novels. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to write the novels if I was still doing this stuff that I'm doing. But it's really interesting. So let's say that they're totally right. Like, let's say that I was like this ice-breaking edgelord, you know, taking on the toughest of subjects with great verve and aplomb and blah, 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 right? And let's say that being deplatformed, you know, broke me in two, and I've just been reduced to a shell of my form. Like, whatever, you know, again, I understand where people are coming from, and I can understand that perspective. I really can. So here's the funny thing, right? What's interesting is I did try clicking through on a few of these people. They don't have any channels. Like, here's the thing. It's like, well, Steph was doing all this essential work, this edgelord stuff, and then he just chickened out, retreated, went full armadillo, and blah, blah, blah. I get all of that. I get where they're coming from. So it's like, isn't that a fantastic market opportunity? Like, isn't that just a fantastic market opportunity? Right? So people are like, well, Steph was doing this amazing work, and then he just, right? It was, what a market opportunity. You know, this guy, man, he there was this Indian restaurant right on this street corner. There was this Indian restaurant. Man, it was fantastic. He had a huge impact. He had tons of customers, you know, he was doing well. And and so then, and then he just, you know, he got one bad review and he shut down, right? And so it's like, well, buy the place and open up an Indian restaurant if you, like, if it's so great, right? So it's just kind of funny, right? They don't seem to see. Like, you should go and do it then, right? If you're aware that it should be done and you perceive that I'm not doing it and it's really important and, you know. I don't know. It's just kind of, it's kind of strange. And yeah, just one website over. Yeah, yeah. And people think, you know, it's funny. When you're a sort of public personality, so to speak, everyone thinks like you make your decisions in isolation of feedback and of empiricism. Like, I was willing to take on risks if other people were also willing to take on risks, right? Yeah, if you could just please stop posting the pictures. Like, do me a solid. This is like never happened before. It is. Here's the thing, too, because when you're out there looking for pictures, I know you're not listening. And then when you post them, it's distracting to other people. So if you could please not post these endless pictures. Again, I'm not sure why I need to say this, but it's a little distracting for people, and people are complaining about it. No, because you can't listen and also look for other pictures and to post and review your list of memes and all of that. So yeah, if you could not do that, I would really appreciate that. Just, you know, do me a solid and do me a favor and let people listen more easily. I would appreciate that. So yeah, because I have to sort of interrupt what it is that I'm doing in order to deal with that, which is, you know, a bit of a break in the train of thought. So yeah, people think that you just make decisions in isolation, and you don't. You make decisions in conjunction with people. So I'm willing to take on risks if other people are willing to take on risks, but I'm not willing to take on risks if other people aren't, right? That's foolish, right? That's, you know, to take a sort of military analogy, if there's 10,000 people marching forward, then that's an army. If it's one guy, that's just suicide, right? So yeah, I mean, when I got deplatformed and I went as much as I could to go and tell people where I was, and a very small percentage of people decided to follow me to the new platforms, as I sort of mentioned before, that's totally fine. You know, it's totally fine. But people think that, like, I'm just making some decision in isolation from everybody else. So yeah, it's just kind of funny, right? Like, that, I didn't see anyone who said, oh yeah, you know, boy, I haven't seen anyone who's posted. This to me would be self-knowledge 101. And tell me if I'm wrong about this, right? So this to me would be self-knowledge 101. So if somebody had said, you know, man, when they deplatformed him, I completely forgot about him. I didn't go to his website. I didn't try to figure out where he was. I just, like, out of sight, out of mind. Like, when Steph was deplatformed, I completely abandoned him. So it makes perfect sense that he would act more for his own pleasure than the, quote, common good, so to speak, because, you know, when I went to go and check his videos and the view count is much less than it was before. So I can completely understand. Like, I would do the same thing. Just like that to me would be self-knowledge 101. And that is a very, it's a very strange thing why people would imagine that I'm just making decisions independent of what anybody else in the world does. So yeah, so people could say, oh my gosh, Stefan Molyneux, I completely forgot about him. Yeah, that kind of been much fun for him that so much of his audience kind of abandoned him or whatever, right? So, yeah. So. All right. Shall I just wait for this debate to close off? I'm just going to wait for this debate to close off. See, you're kind of shouting in the theater, right? You're shouting in the theater. People trying to watch a movie and you're shouting in the theater. It's just it's a little rude, right? No, the dialogue is with me, right? So the dialogue is, it's a live stream for you to ask questions of me. If you get into arguments and are posting memes with other people, that's a distraction for everyone. And here's the thing too, right? So if you're posting about, this is just, right, so you know what it's like from my end of things, right? So I'm looking for questions to answer in the chat. And if there's some big argument going back and forth, I can't find the arguments, right? I can't find the questions for me. So it's not helpful to me, right? So it's like, let's say that I'm giving a speech and there's a Q&A and I'm trying to get questions from people and you're blowing an air horn, right? That's kind of rude, right? Somebody says, I don't get how you aren't covering cutting edge topics. You're still talking about family dynamics, which I consider the most cutting edge thing you can talk about. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's certainly that which has the most impact on people. Right. And that which I get the most requests for. Right. Like I finally did. And it's funny because I talked about this a little while ago, but I finally did get a request for a debate. And it was a debate on Christian nationalism versus a stateless society or something like that, which, you know, we'll look into the guy and see if he's a reasonable debater or a good debater. And maybe that will happen because, yeah, I very much enjoy the debates and I like the debates. I like the debates. All right, we got a whole bunch of people typing, so let me just wait for that kind of thing to catch up. Listen to old Truth About episodes, and you'll get an idea of how to analyze a story yourself. Yeah. Glad you're not taking major risks regarding political anymore. You could have ended up. Yeah, yeah. It can go very badly. It can go very badly, right? Nothing is more important than peaceful parenting, which you are covering. Yeah. Spent last week at Porkfest. Talked to a lot of people that remember you fondly. Way too many did not know you were still making content. Too lazy to go one side over. No, listen. I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm not like. Oh, honestly, I'm actually kind of relieved that a lot of people didn't follow me over. It's like, well, you can't fight if you don't have ammo. Oh, they didn't deliver the ammo. Okay, well, that's. I didn't really, you know, want to go and blah, 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 right. So, no, it's. I appreciate that. So I wouldn't be lazy or negative. It's like once you get how not important you are to a lot of people, you stop making sacrifices for them, right? I mean, because it's reciprocity, right? So yeah, because I at Porkfest, I've spoken many times. I was master of ceremonies there and so on. And out of sight, out of mind is really, really interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon, right? But you think you're very important to people and, you know, people write you emails. Oh, you're so great. And then it's like, you get deplatformed and you just vanish completely from, and listen, and this has happened to me to other people as well, right? There's a bunch of people who've been deplatformed and what happens is they, you know, maybe I forget about them or I don't think about them for quite some time or something like that, right? So, yeah, it is interesting. Almost all the people I talked to gave you great credit for an important part of their moral journey. Lots of credit for peaceful parenting. Yeah, great. Great. Right. So, and again, I have no particular issue. I have no hostility. Again, I have some grateful gratitude for this, this kind of stuff. But yeah, like, and people are like, where did Steph go? Whatever happened to Steph? Where, you know, and I, you know, it's just kind of funny to me. I mean, I'm still doing like half a dozen shows a week. I'm still writing books. I'm still, you know, hopefully doing great things with people's lives. I had a pretty wild conversation last night with a guy who got really stuck with the red pill rage and hostility towards women. Yeah. Whew. Wow. Was your success on YouTube the, quote, wrong kind of success? How would you characterize it? Oh, I had a blast on YouTube. I would not have wanted to do anything different because for me, I'm a seize the carp kind of guy, right? Seize the day. Carpe diem, right? Seize the day. There was this inverted pyramid where the very diamond tip of the inverted pyramid was the 10 years from 2006 to 2016. That was the time of the greatest free speech in the history of the world. It was the greatest free speech period that has ever existed, and probably for the next couple of hundred years at least, will ever exist. It was an unbelievable time and place to speak to the world. And if I hadn't poured everything I had into taking advantage of that unbelievable, unprecedented, truly miraculous capacity to speak to the world without gatekeepers, without censorship, because people, you know, the free market's always better than the bureaucrats, and the bureaucrats didn't figure out how much was being done in the free market. They didn't know how much the free market of ideas had actually opened up and were changing things. And, I mean, the stuff that I achieved was beyond my wildest dreams. And, well, not my wildest dreams, but so if I hadn't taken advantage of that to speak the truth that were really important, right? And the truth that I put out during that time period, and I'm still putting out truth, but that particular kind of truth, that wasn't so much for our time, that was for the future, that was for all time. So it was very, very cool. So no, I don't think it was the wrong kind of success. I think it was just right. It was just right. Oh, Jeff D. Stiles, is that, wasn't Robert F. Kennedy Jr. taking a break from bench pressing the Pentagon in order to go to Porkfest? It was kind of cool. Jeff D. had a speech in front of 1,000 libertarians, told them the best thing they can do for liberty is to have kids. Yeah, have kids and be a peaceful parent, for sure. Let's see here. I remember the 2016 meme war says it was brilliant. Yeah, it was something else, man. And wouldn't you, I mean, that was the veterans of the 10 years of free speech, the veterans of the 10 years of free speech. Shall I do a little speech? It's a famous rant. Shall I? This is how I feel about it. There is nothing better than this. Should we do it? Hit me with a Y if you'd like a rant. One of the most glorious rants, not mine, one of the most glorious rants in human history ever put to pen. All right, here we go. So this is from Hank Sank, Henry V, right? And they're about to go into battle, and the odds are pretty, pretty bad, right? And Westmoreland says to the king, Henry V, he says, "Oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today. Like, oh, the unemployed, could they just be here?" And the king says, "What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are now to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. By Jove, I am not covetous for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my cost. It yearns me not if men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul alive. No, faith, my cuz, wish not a man from England. God's peace, I would not lose so great an honor as one man more, methinks, would share from me for the best hope I have. Oh, do not wish one more. Rather, proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is Saint Crispian. Then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispian's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot. But he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son. And Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed that they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's day. Now that's what I call some motivation. You got to watch Branagh when he was younger, did a great, all of that, right? I don't have a huge amount of time. I spent the day at the beach with some friends, and they're coming over for dinner. I just wanted to drop in and bellow all of that stuff. It's better when you've remembered the whole thing, but non-original ranch. Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. Let's see here. Glorious. Oh, it's a great speech. It's a great speech. What you having for dinner? Beef stew. Be fishy caught at the beach with my bare nipples. You ever had this if you're swimming in some tropical place? You ever had this where you shit yourself because you see a 7 foot or 8 foot shadow pass by under you and you don't know that it's a, you don't know if it's a dolphin or a shark? You ever have that? You ever have that? Oh. Very exciting, especially when you're there with a kid. Okay, I'm going to stay between me and the fins. Please don't circle back. Please don't circle back. Or you look for, make sure that the fins are going this and not this, right? All right. You already posted this meme. I don't know what is your major malfunction, kid? I've asked pretty nicely to not post the memes, and you've just posted the same one again. I don't know. Very strange. All right. I don't quite understand why people do this stuff. I don't really follow. All right. I don't know. You ask people nicely, and I guess some people listen and some people don't, right? Somebody said, glad to see that Locals is on my Apple TV. These alt-tech platforms may be a ways behind the mainstream, but it's getting better every day. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's not an epic troll. I mean, it's epic trolls are a little more subtle. It's someone who, this is the kind of thing, right? So just so you know what the psychology of trolls are. Just so you know, so the psychology of trolls, and I don't know if there's a guy's in troll in general, but the psychology of trolls is, first of all, they're angry at the world because the world didn't work to protect them when they were little and didn't work to protect them from their parents or whoever else abused them. So they're angry at the world. And then what happens is, but they're used to being bullied. So what they do is they come and they act in unacceptable manners that violate boundaries. And then when people push back on them, they play the victim. And so they're in a Simon the Boxer repetition loop in general with abusive or destructive parents, and they feel that obeying any rules is the same as subjugating themselves to their parents. And so they end up recreating their parents by pushing other people's boundaries and people till people get upset with them, and then they say, well, I'm just a victim, and it's right. So all of that kind of stuff, right? So It's really tragic, and it really is just a lack of self-knowledge. Like, the whole world is not like your parents, right? I sort of say this to the trolls out there. You know, there's some really decent people out here, and they're really doing good work to try and help protect kids from parents and raise the standards of parenting and so on. I mean, Mel Gibson's doing a whole documentary on this stuff, right? And Jim Cavaziel, something like that, just came out with some wild stuff about this. So, yeah, there's a lot of really good people out here trying to do work to help people have a better experience of childhood. And if you're coming in and disrupting that kind of stuff, you're serving the bad guys. And you know, I'm absolutely sure that you were harmed by bad guys, and you probably don't. You're not going to end up particularly happy if you end up allying with and doing the work of the bad guys. So. Just try and break out of that and recognize that there's a lot of good people out here who are trying to do a lot of really good work. And if you could either get with us, so to speak, and join us, or at least not disrupt or intervene, I think that you'll end up with the world being a better place. And all the suffering that you had as a kid, interfering with other people who are trying to prevent that suffering from others, means that you're no longer a victim. You're kind of siding with the bad guys. And I know you don't do this consciously. I know you don't mean to. And I know you're just kind of, quote, having fun or being rambunctious or whatever it is. But yeah, it is very tough, because you constantly have this situation where people get annoyed with you, right? And the only reason that you would, like, so your parents were annoyed with you, your parents ignored you, you had to act up to get their attention. And so you're used to managing annoying people. You're used to managing getting attention by annoying people, because your parents were neglectful and they didn't take an interest in you. So the only way you could get attention from your parents was to be in their face or be annoying or be difficult or be disruptive, or maybe it was something like that. And so you're just recreating that, but we're not your parents, right? That's the injustice. Like, we're not your parents. We're not doing that to you. I mean, if you ask me a question, I would absolutely be happy to answer. If you want to do a call in, I'm also very happy to answer and talk about this kind of stuff. But, you know, just coming in and disrupting, like, I mean, there's a reason why, like, I don't have any tips yet, right? And that's kind of, you're kind of interfering also with my capacity to pay my bills and all of that kind of stuff. So it is just difficult for other people. And look, you deserve better. You were a sensitive soul, and I respect that. You were hurt, and I really, really respect and sympathize with the suffering that you went through, and I'm sorry, really sorry that happened for you. But the solution is not to provoke good people into rejecting you, right? If bad people rejected you, that solution isn't to provoke good people into recreating that kind of rejection for you. It's not. It's going to end up with you trapped in that world. Like, it's going to end up with you trapped in that world of rejection. So. Y'all are psychologizing me, he says. Y'all are not going to, let's see here, y'all are not going to catch anything with vinegar. Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly, but I think I'm trying to give you some real sympathy. And obviously, you know, the desire to disrupt rational and productive conversations doesn't come from a place of happiness or peace of mind or security or love or respect or anything like that. So, all right. How satisfied are you with StephBot on a scale of 1 to 10? Oh, man, I think for some applications, let me just get to one or two of those. For some of the applications, man, it has just been fantastico. All right, let's see here. So people are giving it some great questions. I think people are still getting used to it, which, again, I perfectly understand. So remember, StephBot AI cannot think. It cannot think. It cannot say, like somebody was saying, like, does minimum wage violate the non-aggression principle? So all it can't sit there and say, well, the non-aggression principle bans the initiation of force. The minimum wage is characterized by the initiation of force, therefore it would be immoral. It can't think like that. All it can do is look up and say, what has Steph said about the non-initiation of force, and what has Steph said about the minimum wage in particular? And it can do all of that, right? But if I've talked about it, it can synthesize. And the fact that it works in 94 different languages, absolutely fantastic, right? And so the fact, like, if English isn't your first language and you can say, you can ask it in a foreign language and it can answer in a foreign language, oh my gosh, like, that's just amazing. Absolutely incredible. And that's just wild. All right, so somebody says, this is what they got out of it. They asked, can something be both universal and relative? StephBot AI says, nope, something cannot be both universal and relative. Universality implies that it applies to all cases or situations without exception. On the other hand, relativity implies that it is dependent on or varies with the perspective, individual, or situation. These are contrasting concepts, right? Can't moral choices be universal and subject to context? Nope. Moral choices cannot be both universal and subject to context. If a moral choice is universal, it means it applies in all situations, regardless of the context. If it's subject to context, it means it can change depending on the situational circumstances, which contradicts the concept of universality. Boom, right? Aren't moral choices in relationship to other people? Yes, moral choices are often in relation to other people. They involve decisions about how we treat others, what we consider right or wrong in our interactions, and how we uphold values such as honesty, respect, and fairness. These choices can significantly impact our relationships and the well-being of others. Shouldn't we take the subjectivity of other people into context when considering the moral impact of our choices? And aren't these relative to our relationship with other people? Yes, when considering the moral impacts of our choices, it's important to take into account the perspectives and feelings of others. This can involve understanding their values, beliefs, and circumstances. However, while these factors can influence our decisions, it doesn't necessarily make morality relative. There can still be universal principles that guide our actions, such as treating others with kindness and respect. So while our relationships with others can influence our moral choices, it doesn't mean that morality is purely relative. No, not at all, says the listener. Not purely relative, but it can be both. There can be universal principles, and the moral choice can be contextual, conditional, or subjective, right? Yes, you are correct. While there can be universal moral principles, the application of these principles can be influenced by the context, conditions, and individual perspectives. This means that while the principles themselves are universal, the way they are applied can vary based on the situation and individuals involved. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thou shalt not, thou shalt tell the truth. Okay, well, there might be times where it's better to be more diplomatic or to hedge the truth or maybe even to lie and so on. So, yeah. So I think that's really good and interesting stuff. And at some point, you know, we just may load up absolutely everything that I've ever said. But the problem is, of course, the computer doesn't know whether I'm speaking or a listener is speaking. So I can't do call-in shows and can't do interviews and it can't do debates and all of that. So there are some limits. But where we've loaded up the books, you ask it about free will and UPB. Somebody asked, can you summarize UPB in 2,000 words or less? And beautiful, beautiful. So I think where it's good, it's very good. And we did try a lot of different AI models and approaches. So very good. Thank you for the tip. I really, really appreciate that. Hi, Steph. Thanks for all the amazing content. Can I ask you a question? He asked rhetorically. I have just met a woman who has a lot of values and attributes that I'm looking for and ones I believe would make her a great mother. But there are areas where we're not completely in alignment, but I can see real potential in her. How would you approach helping lead this woman out of the matrix and more towards libertarianism in a way where she doesn't feel like she's being rejected for the person she currently is? So, relationships and philosophy is a process. So, if she is wed to conclusions, she will be immovable. Like, in other words, if her identity is wed to conclusions, then you're trying to sail a ship with 12 anchors over the side embedded in rocks and mud, right? If you can get her to understand, and maybe she's already there, you get her to understand that a relationship is a process. And the pursuit of truth and virtue is a process, then you're not rejecting her. Like if you say to a scientist, science is a process, like a good scientist, science is a process, you're not rejecting them as a scientist, you're affirming what they would already accept, know, and believe, right? So if the person she is dedicated to the pursuit of truth, then you bringing her a new truth is not rejecting her for who she is, because she has dedicated herself to the pursuit of truth, not to particular conclusions. Now, if she has wedded herself to particular conclusions, and most people are a mix of the two, right? There's a pursuit of truth, and then there's a bunch of conclusions. And so, I mean, when I was an objectivist, I was very much in the pursuit of truth, but I accepted certain conclusions that hadn't been proven to me, like morality and the free will arguments and so on, stuff that I found to be insufficient later. So I was still in the pursuit of truth. There was some stuff that I had accepted, sort of, to some degree based on faith and all of that. But when I sort of realized that, I'm like, okay, well, I just have to go to these areas that I thought were true. I'm still in the process of truth, and I will try applying truth and reason and evidence and empiricism to the areas that I accepted as true that aren't true. Because if anyone says to me, why do you believe this? And I can't answer it, I will go and work on it. I mean, that's the job, right? That's the gig. So there's going to be some things that you have, that I have, that we accept to be true that aren't true, or at least aren't proven. Okay, well then, if they're important, we go and try and figure them out. Like, I hadn't given myself a full-on description of self-defense and the ethics, so I did an hour on self-defense and ethics of that, and I'll probably put that into more of a formal article. So if she is someone, and look, we all have things that we accept to be true. Like, let's say, I don't know, somebody takes me up in space and it turns out that the world is flat. It's like, okay, well, I'll accept that. Or let's say there's some irrefutable proof that some people argue that, you know, human beings never went to the moon, that it was just some psyop against the communists. The Van Allen belt, and you can see bubbles in some of the space stuff, and there's dogs on the moon or whatever. Like, you know, like it's and there's some people who've claimed to have seen it and all that, right? So let's say I believe that people went to the moon, but if it turns out that it's not the case, because I'm in the process of pursuing truth, I mean, there's stuff that I accept. It's not particularly important to me, but it's stuff that I accept. If it turns out that it's false, well, because I'm in the process of truth, my identity is not, did we go to the moon or not? My identity is in pursuit of truth. So you want to try and orient her and try and figure out how much of it is in pursuit of truth. Like, why do you accept something's true? Why do you accept something's false? And then work with that process rather than the conclusions. And I think that's the best chance you have, right? All right. And thank you for that. That tip and that question. It's a great, great question. All right, let me just get to this. I think we're probably gonna have to do that. The guy just won't. He won't really stop, right? Okay. Well, sorry about that, but we're gonna have to. All right. Let me just see here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I've tried to be reasonable. I've tried a couple of times, but I'm afraid we're going to have to say farewell to that fellow. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, you try to reason, and you know, if they won't listen, you have to move on, because you know, I'm responsible for the community as a whole. All right, any last questions, comments, issues? I am happy to answer. Any last tips? I hope I've shown you how, you know, I try to be reasonable with people. And he said, I think he had a brain injury or something like that. And, you know, I mean, if he has a brain injury, he has my sympathy. I don't hold him particularly morally responsible, but, it, you know, if you have Tourette's, it doesn't mean that you can be in the mime group, right? So I say that without hostility, but it's just not a good environment for that kind of situation to be in. And also, you know, if you have the brain injury and you know that that's the case, I mean, I don't think that the brain injury is causing him to be disruptive in that kind of way. So it's a shame. You know, sometimes you can talk people out of their time in the box of repetition compulsion, and, you know, sometimes you can't. And the other thing, too, is that sometimes they want to see that firmness, and also sometimes it happens much later. It may happen in 3 months, 6 months. It might happen in a year or two. And they might remember, like, oh yeah, somebody did say something about that, and I scorned to mock them at the time, like this guy who got married and then said to his friend, oh yeah, you were right. With regards to the fellow who has the woman he's interested in, if you want to call in, I'm certainly happy to take that on. Whatever happened to that guy named Greg? Boy, that's going back a ways, right? Well, you know, I mean, it's pretty high altitude what I work at, and some people like the altitude, some people adapt to the altitude, some people don't. But yeah, I've never regretted anyone that I've worked with, and it's always been amicable when time comes to move apart, so it's all good. Any other last tips, questions, comments, issues? Praise for me milking my theater school education, right? Doing some Shakespeare. It really is a fantastic speech. I mean, for a non rant of mine, it's not bad. Loved hearing your take on that speech. Well, you know, it's better when I get to break it up into beats and, you know, but I was just sort of ranting off it because I love the speech and I haven't read it in probably 20 years, but it's a pretty good speech. I don't mind uncorking a bit of passion for something like that, even though, of course, it's a pretty warmongery kind of thing, but, you know. Will you post this in audio? I love listening to the live stream. Yeah, I will for sure. I will. All right, it's a bunch of people typing, and again, I feel it rude, but my guests are here. Have you studied psychology? Oh, yeah, I took psychology as an undergraduate. What do the two references to squeezing bananas in the present mean? Oh, is that a meme? I don't know. Went skydiving today. Exhilarating. Will not regret doing it. Well, good for you. I've done that once, too. When do you think the next part of your AI series is, and how would you recommend using StephBot? Well, here's what I would do if I were you. I would say, okay, how well do I understand UPB? And I would say, okay, ask a question, how would I answer it as somebody who knows UPB, and then see how well the StephBot does, and just see, it's not like StephBot is right or anything like that, it's probably pretty accurate, but I would use it to test my knowledge. Can I adequately explain free will to someone else? Okay, well, I'm going to ask the bot and see how it does and all of that kind of stuff. So, do you plan to create courses with the help of AI? I do not. What do you think the next part of your AI series is? Well, I mean, what I want to do, and it's going to take a little while, I want to go through and just see what I want to load up into it, right? Because, you know, the transcription's not always perfect, and I obviously don't want to anything to be misquoted or anything like that, which could be nefarious. So, the books are all up, the articles are all up. A bunch of podcasts are up, and so there's a lot that's in there. I'd like to create one with my fiction, so that you could ask for summaries of characterizations or, you know, summaries of books and see if you're interested in reading them. So I will probably load up my novels into an AI, which I think would be very cool and interesting. Oh, and by the by, if you're here, hit me with a why. If you would like to, I know we've had this for a long time, and I would like to get this down, but if you would like to do a book club on, say, the present or the future or whatever, right? Yeah. Okay, well, we'll try and get that done this week, because I know people have wanted to do it for a long time, and obviously I love talking about the books, so we'll get to that. And I assume it will be... Should we do the present? Because that's one people have read the most recently, right? Somebody says, I'm not attempting to be funny, but like George in Seinfeld, how do you break up with a guy? How do you say this isn't working? I have a normie and non-normie friends that I no longer want to be friends with. It's been bothering me for months now. And they're also coworkers. I'm a big one for not breaking up with people. I'm big one for the slowly drift apart and, you know, especially if it's a work, co-workers, right? Just be kind of unavailable and be busy and, you know, chat with them about things and, you know, stay friendly and stay positive. But I don't see why. It's not like you have to give up custody of the washing machine and the cat, right? So it's not like you've got to divvy up the money you made during the friendship. So, I would say... you know, chat and just diminish and don't hang out with them as much, if at all. And, you know, I mean, generally polite people get kind of the hint and all of that, but there's no need to be enmity or, you know, you're just normies and you don't get it. And, you know, like, cause you still got to work together with people. Right. So in general, I think if it's not working out, just move along. Right. What do you think about the recent Bitcoin rally? Well, you know, there are a lot of very sort of powerful economic forces that are trying to curl Bitcoin, and I assume that they're using states to try and disrupt other exchanges and other so that they can kind of grab. But yeah, I personally, you know, don't take any advice from me. I'm just, you know, my personal subjective opinion is that there is going to be a, I think it's going to be a rally. I mean, I said this a month or two ago, but yeah, I think it's going to continue. Right now, what are they at the point now? This French woman is now saying that there's inflation because of climate change. The trillions of dollars they printed during COVID, it's nothing to do with inflation. It's CO2. That's what's driving it. Have you ever thought about doing a video on public speaking? With your theater background, it would be helpful. I appreciate that. And you can, I've done actually a video on this. Remember, the resource you want to get a hold of is fdrpodcasts.com. Let me just see if I can find you this. fdrpodcasts.com. Also, freedomainplaylists.com, freedomainplaylists.com. But fdrpodcasts.com, James did a magnificent job of creating searchable stuff. Why is it not coming up?
Why? It was just here.
Can you guys get to it? Or is that just me? Hang on a sec. Let me try another browser. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let's see. I think it was fairly early on. Let's see. Maybe public speaking. But yeah, how to give speeches, how to give public speeches. I did all of that, I guess, fairly way back in the day. Oh, yeah, public schools. If I find it, I will post it. Learning social speaking good, a listener conversation, that's 1725. That's pretty funny. And it's funny just how many speeches I used to give. I mean, I do kind of miss that. It was a lot of fun to give those public speeches. And I love the sort of back and forth with the audience. I mean, you play with the audience. You play together and all of that, so. But yeah, hit me with a why. I could do another one, and maybe it would be better even now. But yeah, public speaking. The general argument for public speaking, and I'll just close on this, but the best argument from public speaking, okay, so imagine you got a friend named Bob and a friend named Alice, and you're married, but you think they'd be perfect for each other. Bob and Alice would be perfect for each other. So you bring them together. Now, you're sitting there across from them at the dinner table, and you're mentioning a couple of things. You're not being totally obvious about it. But you're not thinking about what they think of you. You're thinking about how they interact with each other. Do they get along? Do they like each other? And you're responsible for introducing them, but your main focus is on how Bob and Alice are interacting with each other. And the last thing you're thinking about is, well, what if they think of me, right? Now, as a public speaker, you have facts, truth, reason, evidence, arguments that you want to present to an audience, right? So the facts are Bob and the audience is Alice. And the thing that you're looking for is, how well does Bob get along with Alice? Do they like each other? Are they able to understand each other? Do they have some interest? Do they share the same values, right? But what you're not doing is thinking about, oh, but what does the audience think of me? It's like, no, I'm a vehicle, I'm a vessel, right? Like the best glassmakers, the people who are really great at glassmaking, you don't even know there's a window there. You ever had that? You know, the glass is so great and so clean, you don't even know there's a glass there. So the best glassmakers are invisible, right? I mean, how do you know when you need to clean your glasses, right? I've got smudges and fingerprints, and all my daughter loves finger my glasses, right? So you want to be invisible. You are a mechanism by which the truth gets introduced to the audience, and you care about the relationship between the truth and the audience, like Bob and Alice at the dinner table. It's not about you. It doesn't matter what they think of you. It's completely, and the less they think of you, the better. Like I've always said to people, don't think of me. I'm just some dude, right? Don't think of me. Think of the truth, whatever I'm able to bring to you. But don't get distracted by me. It's not, you know, like the glassmaker wants you to think there's no glass. He wants to be the clearest possible pane so you can see the view. The view is the truth. The view is philosophy. The view is virtue, love, empathy. Okay, I will, I'll do a show on public speaking. I will absolutely do that. I'm sure Jarrett will remind me if I forget. All right. Well, listen, friends, thank you so much for the drop by today. Any last tips, I would really appreciate it. And of course, if you're listening to this later, freedom, that would be the hour 11 already. Wild, man. freedomain.com/donate. If you would like to help out the show and help out what it is that I do and help push back against all the people who think I just got broken and I'm a shadow of my former self. Right. Wonderful show. Saving for a big tip on the FDR site. Thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. Thank you guys for dropping by tonight. I mean, I missed you guys. It had been like since Friday. It's been like 2 whole days I had talked to you. So, and I did 2 really wild call-in shows yesterday and Friday and yesterday. And I'm still getting the one out the woman who was a stripper for 9 years. Is still a stripper and just can't get her boyfriend to commit to marrying her. It just seems to be a bit of a hitch that way. Steph's podcast lasted longer than the Russian coup. Yeah, I didn't really comment on that because it's a lot of aborted stuff that goes on in that country. And I assume it's all just a psyop, right? And there's a problem with mercenaries is that public sector can't do much good, so they've got to hire mercenaries, and then the mercenaries can be paid by anyone, right? So it's a problem. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Lots of love from up here. I will talk to you soon. And thanks, Emil, for your support of the show. Bye.